Well, if your world is anything like mine, your weekends are just chocked full of sports, and you have no idea what's going on. Or you maybe have a little bit of an idea because it's your significant other who's got the remote control. Every Monday on the BPP, we recap the weekend sports action with ESPN veteran Bill Wolf, who happens to be my husband.
Yes.
Of exactly 1 year and 1 day.
That's right, woman.
Cute.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. So we're on the plane back from L.A. last night,
yep.
And the pilot gets on and starts giving sports scores.
Good man.
Because I know
that
you,
airline again.
I know that you've already TiVo'd the New England Patriots versus Indianapolis Colts game.
That should tell you something. I don't really typically TiVo live events because, you know, half, not even half, 99% of the fun is being there while it's happening. But that one was big enough that I actually watched it after you went to sleep last night in order that you might get up and do the Bryant Park Project early in the morning.
There you go. Now, why all the hype about this game, first of all?
Because there, I don't, in no one's memory have there been two teams clearly better than all the rest of the teams this deep into the season. We're halfway through the season, and going into this game, both Indianapolis Colts and New England Patriots were undefeated, and not just undefeated, but wrecking the opposition, wrecking them. And they'd also won the last two Super Bowls, and they've sort of been the elite class of the league for a while. And this year, they are just destroying those who would contest their greatness. So that was the big hype. And so, it paid off. It was a classic.
The Patriots pulled it out just at the end.
Yep.
Final score 24-20.
Correct.
Because Tom Brady threw how many touchdowns in the last minutes?
He threw two touchdowns in a period of about 4 minutes, starting with about 8 minutes to go. So he threw one with about 8 minutes to go, and he threw another one with about 3 minutes to go, something like that.
Is he a guy who's known to behave like this, to play like this in the clutch? Or
he's very poorly behaved. he is known to win lots of games. It turns out that statistically, and during the fourth quarter, they put up the statistic that he has led something like
this. Is that the cat?
Is that, what's your cat's name, Clubber Lang?
Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston.
Hey, get out of here. anyway, he left a gift this morning, too, by the way. Anyway, it turns out that Tom Brady has, in his career, since 2001 when he became the quarterback, led 21 fourth quarter comebacks. But that's not really what he's known for. So much as he's just known for winning, whether it's by comeback or by wire-to-wire domination. So
the thing about this game that killed me was that Tom Brady just, I feel like he willed this victory for the team. They weren't playing particularly well at the beginning of the game. They're at Indianapolis. I was in this bar in Brooklyn where everyone's cheering for Indianapolis. I feel like there was all this momentum. And Tom Brady was just like, I refuse to lose this game.
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, certainly the throws he made in the fourth quarter to win the game were just exceptional athletic moves. I mean, that's something we often forget, I think, about quarterbacks in pro football. It's really hard to throw a football. It's really hard to throw a football accurately. It's really hard to throw a football far and then throw on shoulder pads, which decrease the range of motion in your arm, and then have a bunch of 300-pound monsters coming to try to kill you, and to be able to put it right where you want it in the big moment with everything on the line, it is a remarkable, remarkable skill. And I agree that Brady seemed to elevate the level of his performance right in the key moment, but they got a lot of big performances from guys. I mean, they did a lot of guys. Roosevelt Colvin made a big play, and the running back Maroney made a big play, and Kevin Falk made a big play, and Wes Welker made a big play. They're just an excellent, excellent team. And when it counts most, that is when they have to be excellent, like the fourth quarter yesterday down by 10 points, they all seem to just be better than the other team. They make the amazing play that keeps the other team from doing what it wants to do, and then the Patriots imposed their will. It was really a classic. It lived up to the billing.
All right, so the Patriots beat the Colts 24-20. Let's talk about people who aspire to be in professional football,
mm-hmm.
or at least they used to.
Mm-hmm.
The players at Notre Dame.
Oh, my dear Lord.
We have two powerhouse teams losing, college football teams this week. Let's start with Notre Dame loses to Navy.
Oh, dear. Well, in the history of college football, which dates back to, like, prehistoric times, the first college football game was played, and there were velociraptors playing. It goes way back. The longest streak of one team beating another team year after year was 43 straight 43 straight years they played, and 43 straight years one team beat the other. And the one team that did the beating was Notre Dame, and the one team that absorbed the beating was Navy, until Saturday at South Bend, home of Notre Dame, in the shadow of Touchdown Jesus. Navy beat Notre Dame, sending Notre Dame to a record of 1 win and 8 losses.
Ooh.
And I mean, that's really, really bad. And also, I think, largely unexpected. You might have expected that Notre Dame would win 5 or 6 games and sort of hover around even. But to see them floundering, just floundering, is a shocker. And as I'm sure Luke knows, the alumni of Notre Dame are extremely impatient.
And I'm sure also the school itself. I mean, this is a big money.
Well, it's big money, and at the moment, that's not at risk because they're locked into a, you know, a large network contract with NBC for money they get that nobody else gets. But down the road, it's going to have financial implications, and Notre Dame just takes its football, no matter whether, you know, you could have the man who invented the vaccine or just a guy working at Duane Reade. If he or she went to Notre Dame, he or she loves that football team, and they do not take kindly to losing, let alone to being humiliated, which when you start losing to Navy at home, it's reached humiliating levels.
Right. My cousin Kellyanne, the pride of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, she went to Notre Dame, and she schedules her pregnancies, she's on her third kid, around the Notre Dame football season because she knows her husband will not talk to her if there's a game on.
Well, God bless him. He's got the right idea, that guy.
The next one I want to talk about, this headline from USA Today, Carnage. At
Carnage.
Nebraska.
Carnage.
Carnage is actually the correct word to use, right?
This one is really amazing. So you've got Nebraska, like Notre Dame, a traditional power. It's in a bit of a period of ebb. I mean, they haven't been great for 5 or 6 years, but it is Nebraska, and typically they're always at least okay. And they're playing Kansas, and Kansas is typically one of the very best basketball teams in the country, always a great basketball team. But equally as good as their basketball teams always are, their football teams are that bad traditionally. Kansas, they haven't been good since Gale Sayers, and that was 1964. So suddenly you have Kansas playing Nebraska, and Kansas is undefeated. They're ranked 5th in the country, and they put 76 points on Nebraska, which I cannot, it's like if Grenada invaded the U.S. and it took 15 minutes. Wait a minute.
This final score was 76-39.
Kansas isn't any good. Nebraska doesn't stink. Oops. Kansas is really good, and Nebraska stinks out loud. 76 points. Nobody puts 76 points on anybody. And Kansas especially doesn't put 76 points on Nebraska, except that it happened. That is a, if you follow college football for any period of time, that one is a shocker. And here's Kansas is now 5th in the country. And like I say, they are famous, famous, famous for having great, great basketball. But to see them at 5th in the country in football is something amazing, something totally amazing.
Their head coach probably weighs 500 pounds.
That's what you said. You said he was a big boy.
I think the biggest
head coach.
He's
as wide as he is tall, I guess you'd say. He's a large individual. You know, he inspires greatness. What can you say?
Okay, we've got about a minute 30 left, Bill Wolf.
Okay. Which way are we going?
We're going to Friday. You and Adam Felber from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We met Adam Felber for the first time. The two of you standing there, Adam with his iPhone, you with your Blackberries, actually trading NBA scores at a cocktail party.
Well, there was nobody like Bill Maher or you or the guy from the Daily Kos or Martin Short standing around. It was just... It's just us two.
What was so darn interesting, if anything? I mean, the NBA season just started.
Everything. What's interesting? Well, first of all, if you love the NBA, and not all that many people still do, it's just great every second if you really love the pro game, which I do. But I think probably early on there are two things most interesting about the NBA, and it's a little throwback to the 80s. One is the story of Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, and that's half of the 80s equation. And it's that Kobe Bryant has been such a sourpuss, such a whiner, and he seems to try to be, he seems to be trying to dictate the terms of his leaving Los Angeles, the only team he's ever played with.
He's telling them he will only go to certain other teams, right?
Well, not only will he only go to certain other teams, but he will only be traded for certain other players because he wants his destination still to be stocked with enough good players that he might be on a great team when he gets there. The problem is he's so great. I mean, Kobe Bryant is so great that the Lakers are not going to trade him for a bag of potato chips and $50. They're going to take really good players in return, and that will leave the team to which he goes a little depleted. So he's sort of blocking the move that he's requesting. He says, I want to go, but I really want to go where there are a lot of other good players. So we had to see what Kobe was doing Friday night, and it turns out that he was sort of single-handedly dismantling the Phoenix Suns, who are an excellent team. So he's already off to a great start. And then the other part of it is...
The other part of it? I'm going to have to ask you to actually...
The Celtics are unbelievable. They have three incredible great players, and they debuted on Friday night, and they really took it to the Washington Wizards.
Because wait, the who's?
The Washington Bullets. The Washington Wizards.
Oh, okay. Watch out for the Wizards and Agent Zero, Gilbert Arenas. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying they stink, and the Celtics are good.
Oh, okay.
Celtics are good. Bill Wolf?
Yep.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Dom. See ya.
Wait a second. Now Boston has the world champion Red Sox, the best football team in the history of time.
Good
and
to
the
be
freaking
from
Celtics are good?
Good to be from Boston.
Jeez.